This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from that era. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1941. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
This is Station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. Good afternoon. It's Sunday, December 7th, 1941, and you're in tune with the Martin and McKenna Show. Yes, this is Jack McKenna, and Lou Martin is standing by with your Sunday afternoon 2 o'clock news update. Friends, we've got a memorable hour of weather, sports, and news for your enjoyment. Now here's Lou Martin with the Newberry's Department Store 2 o'clock news. Well, Lou, we're watching things in the Pacific, Washington, and, of course, the outcome of the Chicago Bears-Chicago Cardinals game at Wrigley Field.
Well, yes, Jack, so far no word from Japan's envoys, although they have a meeting set for this afternoon with Secretary of State Cordell Hull. As far as Chicago, we do have the score with the Chicago Cardinals leading George Halas's Bears 14-0 at the end of the first half.
Well, if those Bears are upset by the Cards, that'll give the Packers the division title. And they'll play the New York Giants for the championship in 2 weeks.
Well, we'll let our main man with the sporting news, Ray Poulsen, keep us posted for today. Well, good listeners, it's 34 degrees and partly sunny. Leading our news is this flash from Berlin. A brief report from the United Press Wire Service says a Nazi spokesman is declaring a stalemate on the war for Moscow, at least for this winter. Germany has abandoned plans to take the Soviet capital until the fierce winter weather subsides in just a few months. And this in from Minneapolis. Yesterday, U.S. District Judge M.M. Joyce sentenced 18 people to prison for trying to overthrow the United States government by force. These people, you'll recall from our past news reports, held key positions in welfare, labor, and educational posts, and were arrested on sedition charges. As members of the recently assassinated Leon Trotsky's communist movement, they were convicted of advocating revolution by force. Judge Joyce's sentences ranged from a year and a day to 16 months in prison. The Great Lakes navigation season may be extended in future years if an appropriation in Congress is approved by President Roosevelt. The money would be spent to build a larger, new icebreaker, especially to keep ice clear in December and April. The Twin Ports shipping season just ended this weekend. Captain William Forsyth of Superior's Home Guard Company K says that they now have 15 vacancies and are ready for local young men to step in. Captain Forsyth says enlistments will be taken tomorrow from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Armory, located at 16th and John Avenue. A medical officer will be present to conduct physical examinations. We'll have more news and Ray Paulson's sporting news coming up after a word from our new sponsor, Newberry's Department Store of Superior. Jack.
Right, Lou. Newberry's has some great ideas for Christmas gifts for us all. For example, at Newberry's on Tower, we have, listen to this, Tinker Toys, Lou. Tinker Toys. Why, I've still got my set at home. They're great. Actually, they are great for young kids to learn something about construction. And for the ladies, a three-piece dresser set for $1.98. And those Tinker Toys are only 59 cents. So far, we're well below the budget. How about a Torpedo six-piece bath salt set? Ooh, it feels so good when you sink in that hot water. 10 cents for the bath salt set. Instruction and entertaining books, 10 cents to 25 cents. I mean, that is a bargain. The ABC book of the alphabet, and high school preparation, good reading for kids going on to school. Well, try them all. Try anything. Newberry's has what you want, I'm sure, for Christmas. Well, Lou, how about your Tinker Toys? You doing anything with the Tinker Toys?
Well, you know, I can always have fun at any age, and you and I should both enjoy them. Well, two changes are in the works in the local education community, with manual training teacher V.E. Brayman announcing his retirement from Superior State Teachers College January the 1st. Patterson School Industrial Arts teacher Sidney Wright has been hired to replace him. Public School Superintendent Angus Rothwell announced Central High School Dean of Boys Mervyn Steffens will replace James King as principal at the Cooper Elementary School. Principal King is retiring. Mervyn Steffens joined the Superior School System in 1932. And Jack, we wish the best for the longtime Superior Teachers College instructor, Brayman. He'll be a free man, so to speak, come the first of the year. His career was distinguished by turning a one-bench manual training program at the college when he took over in 1912 into the large program that it is today. He says that he'll spend a lot of time with his wife as well as catching up on golfing and fishing. Mr. Brayman first arrived in Superior in 1905, where he taught industrial arts at the Blaine School. He plans to live out his years in Superior, even though he's a native of New York. He'll remain active with the Wentworth Union Church. Well, Jack, it's nice to hear that he's sticking around.
Certainly is, Lou. I'm sure we'll be hearing from the Brayman family for years to come with their civic pride. Well, folks, let's check out that big game going on now at Wrigley Field and all of today's sporting news with Rapid Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jack, and hello, fans of the sporting games. Well, the pigskin is flying at Wrigley as the first-place Chicago Bears trail beginning the second half to the Chicago Cardinals 14-0. But our wire indicates a big drive by the Hallis Club now, and they're threatening to get back into the contest. As you know, if the Cards win, so do the Packers. They'll be the division champs, playing the Giants December 21st. If the Bears win, there'll be a playoff game next week. The Packers are off this week, finishing with a stellar record of 10 wins against only one loss. Expect toward action this Wednesday as the Duluth State College Bulldogs are invaded by the Superior Teachers College Yellow Jackets in basketball action. For Duluth's part, they're pretty well pleased that three-year starting center Wayne Keto is back. Keto is Duluth's big man, standing 6'3" and weighing 235 pounds. Lloyd Lukekinen and team captain Gus Novotsky, along with Sandy McDonald, will all see lots of action this season. And Jack, here's our bowling leaders from our Strikes to Spare scoreboard in Superior Leagues. In the Junior Chamber of Commerce League, S&L Company, Shays, Witness Motors, and DeVinks lead the league. The leading men's bowling averages are 173 by Adolson, 168 by Clausen, Lazinski with 166, Osana with 164, and DeVink is rolling a 157 average. Old Mr. Witness is having a little trouble, though. His average is sitting at 114. And Jack and Lou, the Elks Ladies Afternoon League is led by Goble Beer, Holden's Tires next, then Northern Beer Keglers, Bohemian Beer, and Ham's Beer teams are next, with Solon Springs and Rockwood Floral taking up the rear. Mrs. Wake has the leading bowling average at 149, followed by Mrs. Kolanchik with a 142 average. And that's the sporting news, folks.
Hey, none other than Rapid Ray Paulson. That's him, our sportsman. Thanks, young fella. We have this note of community importance. The YMCA membership fund drive is going very well, according to President Bruce Campbell. The team of Norman and Johnson had raised the most money and were awarded a pair of pencils for their efforts.
A pair of pencils?
Oh, come on, Jack. You gotta be kidding.
Real lead in those pencils, we hope. And they're sharp. Anyway, it's time to jazz things up a bit, friends. Let's have some fun now. And swing and sway with Sammy Kay on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
As time goes on, thank you.
such a lovely thought in these words by Judy Johnson.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely, no matter what the future brings as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date, hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate, that no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
We've just enjoyed As Time Goes by Swingin' and Swayin' with Sammy Kaye and his orchestra. That's a number that is prominent in a movie set to debut in a few weeks in 1942, starring Humphrey Bogart, called Casablanca. You think it'll be a hit? Speaking of 1942, good listeners, the 1942 Studebaker Champion is now on display at Carey Garage in Superior. The Studebaker Champion is the lowest priced six in America. It's a real beauty, friends. Roomy, yet it has remarkable gas and oil mileage. And, of course, Carey always gives you your money's worth in a trade-in. And this Studebaker is on sale now for just $810. You heard right, $810. And if you want to step up to the Studebaker Commander, well, that's $1,100, while the Presidential Package is $1,242. The 1942 Studebaker is in now at Carey Garage. Well, Lou, I see you're back in the studio with us. What do you have?
This is a bulletin fresh off our United Press Service wire. It's dateline Washington, D.C. This is the first word, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense, Jack, because there isn't a lot of in the way of detail, but it sounds ominous. Get this now. United Press reports that an air raid is underway in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and that this is not a drill. That's all it says. An air raid underway in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Hawaii, you know, is the base for much of our Pacific Fleet, and many people from Duluth and Superior and Upper Wisconsin are currently serving in Hawaii. Well, I'll keep a close watch on our wire and monitor the Mutual radio system and NBC for other news on this air raid.
Well, that's quite a ways from the Philippines and some of the other areas in the Far East, Lou. Yes, you better keep us posted.
You know, there's a lot of families here with sons that are stationed in the Pacific, probably in Hawaii.
We know you'll give us the news as soon as it comes in, but you've done that for years, of course, being the old pro that you are. And now is when you shine, old friend. We have a weather update from the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth. Right now, the temperature at Superior City Hall is 34 degrees. And at the Williamson Johnson Duluth Airport, it's 32 degrees. Expect partly cloudy conditions for the rest of today, with a high temperature around 35. Tonight, some light snow expected, including the Ashland to Grantsburg line and along the South Shore. Maybe we'll get an inch or so. So Monday morning might have some slippery spots on our roadways. Take it easy. The high temperature tomorrow is expected to be around 25 degrees, with a low Monday night at about 10 above. As we wait for more word from Lou, let's hear from a great bunch of Americans, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, on station KUWS.
Interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Well, that announcement apparently means a battle is underway between soldiers of the United States and the Empire of Japan. We don't have any details about the extent of this fight or how it got started. But what we do know is that Japanese envoys were to have met this afternoon with a reply to our demands. It's hard to say what this all means, Jack. You know, how big the attack is, how much damage, if our soldiers and sailors are in actual danger. We just don't know. I'm going to try to get a line with Northwestern Bell to Hawaii and see if I can find out. The more accurate information that we have, the better we can decide what our next move is.
This whole thing kind of shakes me up, Lou. I never expected anything like this to happen. I don't expect anybody else did either. You keep watching the United Press Wire, and we'll get you good listeners' information on this right away.
Now, to repeat, an air attack is underway on Pearl Harbor, a United States naval base in the Hawaiian Islands. The attack is led by Japanese fighter planes, which are dropping bombs on the Hawaiian Islands.
Okay, Lou, thank you. A somber time, friends. We know many, many people from our area are serving in the Pacific, in the Navy, in the Marines, in the Army. In fact, Lou, don't we have a list from the Ladies Home Front Auxiliary? Maybe we can dig that out and pass along those names to our listeners.
Yes, I've been working with the Ladies Home Front Auxiliary, so we could announce our servicemen overseas for Christmas. We'll get to that right now.
Well, friends, it sounds like we might be in it now. No mistaking that official announcement from Washington. Well, I see KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson is in now to help us out on this Sunday. You have something for us, Mike?
I have Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan on the telephone. He's just gotten into the police station, but has some announcements that our listeners need to hear. Hello, Chief. This is certainly an urgent time for all Americans.
That's why we had a plan in place in case we did get involved in the war in Europe. And for that matter, as it turns out, we're involved in a conflict in the Pacific instead. Either case, this emergency plan is still relevant since the Superior Duluth port is vital to national security.
Because of the shipyards and all the building activity going on now?
That is extremely important, but so is the shipping of iron ore from the Range mines and grain from Midwest farms. Right now, we're concerned with keeping calm. We can't afford to have any civil disobedience now, nor can we risk sabotage. In fact, two of our higher-ranking officers, Assistant Police Chief Martin Widnes and Lieutenant Peter Ostrom, have undergone extensive FBI training preparing for something like today. If need be, we can begin blackouts and air raid precautions, probably sometime later this week.
The Chief Buchanan, what's being done to secure the vital industries?
What we can say is that additional armed personnel are in place in sensitive areas. It could be as simple as making sure the radio station is locked from now on, or as complex as staking out security at the Globe shipyards and the Acme foundry in Superior. We also began meetings with the railroad security people, since rail transportation is often a target for sabotage. We've gotten lots of cooperation from all of the rail lines, Soo Line, Great Northern, Burlington Railroad, Northwestern, Omaha, Duluth and Mesabi Railroad. I want to warn listeners that any trespassing will be treated severely, that security people are armed.
Unfortunately, none of this is a matter to be treated lightly.
No, it is not. And when we have our plans for air raid drills and blackouts, we will need everyone's cooperation.
Of course. Thank you, Chief. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan, who we'll be hearing a lot from as this conflict continues, Jack.
Thanks, Mike. And thanks, Chief. To repeat, United States Naval and airfields in Hawaii have been and maybe still are under attack at this hour by fighter planes from the Empire of Japan. Usually our Harriet Farig gives us community and entertainment news at this time, but she is here now with a very important list that we would like to share with you over the rest of our program. Thank you, Harriet, for coming in on your day off.
Well, Jack, as soon as I heard, because, you know, I always listen to you and Lewis, I had to come in and do what I can help. It's just the way it will have to be until this whole thing is finished. You know, too often we think of war and fighting as so far away, but it really isn't. I mean, yes, Hawaii is a long way from here, but our people, our sons and fathers, are serving Uncle Sam in the Pacific right now. These names come to us through the vigilant work of our Ladies Home Front Auxiliary. And Jack, if you're like me, you'll be surprised at how many of our boys are, as they say, over there, in harm's way. Naval Ensign Tom Armstrong of Superior is stationed at Pearl Harbor. The highest-ranking officer is Lieutenant Colonel Martin Ackerson, head of the 19th U.S. Infantry in Pearl Harbor. Lieutenant Colonel Ackerson not only was part of the American Expeditionary Force in France and Germany in 1917 and 1918, he was also decorated by the French for his service, and his son Frederick is currently going to school in Honolulu. Other Superiorites in Hawaii include Ray Nelson at Hickam Field, and Ensign Charles Keatkin, nephew of Dr. Dave August of Superior, whose son Jack is a pilot on his way to the Philippines. Corporal Dale McLeod is stationed in Honolulu. Bombardier Calvin Martin of Foxborough is at Hickam Field. Superior's Jack Keogh is serving in Guam. Ensign Edward Conley and brother William of Hammond Avenue in Superior is on board the destroyer Lamson in Pearl Harbor. I remember he was just in Superior on leave last September. And George Carlson of Baxter Avenue is a member of the 18th Air Squadron.
I know you have more names, Harriet, many more to share, but Lou is with us again with some more information. What have you got, Lou?
Our United Press wire reports that Japanese air attack has bombed Oahu, specifically the Pearl Harbor Naval Base at Hickam and Wheeler Airfields. Many casualties are reported, but the attack apparently has only just ended or it's in a lull. I'm trying to get a line through to Oahu, and maybe we can get a resident there or a business owner to tell us at least what they see. Also, other Japanese attacks are now being reported in the Pacific, including against Guam, and air raid sirens are going off in Manila in the Philippines. That's all we have right now, Jack. Harriet, your services here today are just invaluable. Thanks for coming in.
We must do whatever we must do, Lou. Now, you keep making your calls.
Yes, ma'am. Right you are.
The horror these servicemen must be going through, Lou. East End resident John Hansen is a member of the Signal Air Corps in Pearl Harbor. Harold Simonson of Solon Springs, Alvin Korosky of Catlin Avenue, Joseph Koryansky of Birch Avenue, and Harry Bowman all are part of the Hawaiian Detachment. Others enlisted in the Hawaiian Detachment are John Roscoe, Chester Lorimer Peterson, Lionel Burns, and Robert Oliphant, all of Superior. Raymond Rummel of Shell Lake and Willard Rowe of Iron River also are in Pearl Harbor. Other Superior servicemen include Arthur Midbus. He's a signalman on the USS Pennsylvania. Goodness, I used to babysit him. Jack, I have a whole other list supplied to us from the Superior Defense Mothers.
Well, hold on to that list for now. Lou Martin has a couple of guests for us to talk about what we can do locally to help our young men in Hawaii and the Philippines. First, Lou, any luck getting that long-distance line?
Not yet. I've turned that task over to Mike Simonson. Now let's just let those who may be tuning in for the first time that around 8 o'clock this morning, December the 7th, 1941, the United States Naval Base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, was bombed by Japanese pilots. Also bombed were Hickam and Wheeler airfields on the island of Oahu. We don't know how much damage was inflicted or if Hawaii will be attacked by ground forces or not. We do know the west coast of America can be reached by airplanes from Hawaii, so the mainland would be in danger of attack. With me are two prominent local veterans, Henry Blomberg, veteran of Foreign Wars Commander Clyde Thomas, and American Legion Post 65 Commander Wilford Campbell. I'd say good afternoon, gentlemen.
But of course, it's not a good afternoon. This kind of attack on our servicemen by the Japanese will not be tolerated. And we're offering our services in any way possible.
Well, yeah, anything. And we can do a lot.
Well, you don't expect the men who served under Blackjack Pershing to go back into action, do you, Commander Campbell?
If those Japs come knocking at Superior's door, you'd better believe they'll be greeted with the barrels of our guns.
Now, look, of course our boys are past the age of active service, but they're not past the age of patriotic service.
Well said. You see, Lou, we've already been working with the police department and Chief Buchanan to form a defense committee. You know, air raid wardens, drills, conservation drives, blackout drills.
Whatever we can do. Now, we're going to do anything to help. When we were over there fighting in the trenches of France and then Germany, well, we know how important that home front effort was to get us supplies and to keep our morale high.
We can't afford to let some foreign agent do damage to our shipyards and railroads. Our men are ready to take on extra duty for the home guard. You know, this is a time that we all have to pull together.
Since you've been part of the Defense Committee, any idea of how long you two think this war will go on?
It's impossible to say. A quick strike backed by our Navy and troops, along with the British, you know, they're in the South Pacific, too, protecting interests. Who knows? It could be a few weeks or months before this score is settled.
Could be, but, you know, you never know. That whole thing in Europe that's going on, I mean, if this pulls us into that, well, you never know. That would mean fighting two wars at once in two different parts of the world. There may be a lot more dark days ahead before we see any light at the end of this tunnel.
Well, that's interesting. Well, thank you, Blomberg VFW Post Commander Clyde Thomas and American Legion Post 65 Commander Wilford Campbell. What do you think, Jack?
Well, as news comes in, I'm getting too numb to think almost. We remember the awful price we paid in 1917 and 1918, and that was just in Europe. Let's take a break here with an appropriate bit of music as we regroup, good listeners. Again, our naval base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, has been bombed this morning by forces of the Japanese Air Force. And this is Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land on Station KU. WS.
queen, that ribbon of highway, I saw above me, there in the byways, I looked below me, in the golden valley, this land was made for you and me, this land is your land. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream Water, this land was made for you and me, baby. As I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said no trespassing, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of a steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people. As they stood there hungry, I stood there whistling, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me, Sam. Nobody living can ever stop me as I go walking that freedom's highway. Nobody living can make me turn back. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
Well, friends, we have someone who would be considered an expert on Pearl Harbor and that area. Lou Martin has him with us now.
Well, thanks, Jack. Don Hartley of North 18th Street in Superior served for more than a year in Pearl Harbor, and since 1937 in the Pacific, and was honorably discharged July the 28th. Thank you for coming in, Mr. Hartley.
Yes, Mr. Martin, certainly. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard the announcement about Pearl Harbor being attacked. Never in a million years that I would have thought that could have happened.
You were pretty surprised then.
Surprised? You know, my duty on board the SS Idaho was routine sea patrol. You know, cruising the area around islands looking for anything suspicious. All the Japanese activity, you know, is much further east in the Asiatic waters of the Pacific. Now, we never thought we'd run into a Jap task force way out in Hawaii. You know, it's too far from their supply lines. How they did it, I surely don't know. You know?
So, how many ships were stationed in Pearl Harbor?
Well, you know, I really shouldn't say. I mean, I know, but I can't say, even though I'm not in reserve or anything like that or under orders. It might be less to let the government release that information, but I will say it was the base of our Pacific fleet, but really, you know, that's all I should say.
I understand. Now, what's next for you?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say. If I'm called to go back to duty, I suspect that'll happen. I'll go. You know, I'll go.
Well, thank you, Don Hartley of Superior, former seaman, first class, serving on the USS Idaho in Pearl Harbor.
Is that all? You know, I think I'll be heading out.
Very good, Mr. Hartley. Well, Harriet, let's hear some more from your list of servicemen from our area who are stationed in what is now considered a war zone, Hawaii and the Pacific.
Our editors in Shawamigan Bay, Seeger Swanson, has called us with the names of men from Washburn in the service. Clarence Porter is on board the USS Vestal in Pearl Harbor. Howard Klug is the chief gunner on the USS New Orleans in Pearl. And Robert Newman is stationed on the USS Nevada, also in Pearl Harbor. Other servicemen from Superior in Hawaii include Gilbert Pitt on the USS Cincinnati, Arthur Ramstead of the USS aircraft carrier Yorktown, Harvey Ryan on the USS Boise, Robert Seeley on the USS California, Sam Silvig of the USS Trenton, Raymond Smith on the USS Maryland, George Smith on the USS Hampton. Henry Zielinski is working in the submarine torpedo shop in Pearl. Arthur Anderson's at Hickam Field. Barton Babcock with the USS Portland. Ralph Bertheum is at Fort Roger in Honolulu. Warren Bugden is in the USS Tangiers in Pearl. Lionel Behrens is stationed at Wheeler Field, and Carl Carlson is on board the USS Nashville. Richard Chase is serving on the USS Indianapolis, while Brother Stanley Chase is on the USS California. Earl Coleman is also on the USS Vestal. Arthur Dalstead is on the USS Hovey. Electricians Mate W.G. Eisenman and Frank Louis DeGraff of the USS Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is the flagship of the Pacific Fleet. Torger Finston on the USS McKean and Kenneth Greeley on the Air Corps in Hawaii.
Wow, that's a rather staggering number of local boys, and we're not even reading the long list from Duluth. I hate to interrupt this important list, Harriet, but I do think Lou has made contact with someone in Oahu, Hawaii.
Hello, Mr. Higa.
Yeah, I can hear you, okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you tell me about the situation there? Did you see the Japanese planes attack? Do you know the damage that they caused?
The damage? Oh, yeah, much damage to the island. Three is black smoke coming from the harbor. Big fires and explosions. Oh, I can still hear the explosions. Even though the Japanese planes are gone. Oh, the planes, they came in low. Many, many planes. They came in waves and waves. There was no counterattack or defense. They just came and destroyed. Oh, the fire and smoke is everywhere. Even some in Honolulu. Airplanes are burning on the airfields. I don't know what else to say. This is very bad. Very bad.
Mr. Higa, do you know how many people were hurt or if any ships were sunk?
Oh, yeah. Ships are underwater burning. The water's on fire, the whole harbor. Many dead, many hurt. I don't know how many.
Operator.
I'm sorry, sir. All the telephone lines to Hawaii are now for military use only. No other calls are allowed to be placed there.
We can't get Mr. Higa back?
I'm sorry, sir. This is an order from the Civil Defense Department.
Thank you, operator.
Good luck, sir.
Well, good luck to you, operator. Well, Jack and Harriet, it sounds bad. I guess we're lucky to get through it all by the sound of things.
Dear me, what in the world would possess them to do that to us?
Things have been tense for a while, but who knew this would ever happen?
I have to say that I've never done an interview more important than that one with Mr. Higa. I wish I could have thanked him and wished him Godspeed. That Northwestern Bell operator did a heck of a job getting us a line. She says that she listens to us a lot, Jack.
Good, and it paid off this time. I'm speechless myself for a change.
I should say that Mr. Higa is a gas station owner in Oahu, where Pearl Harbor is located.
Maybe this is a good time for Harriet to finish her list of Upper Wisconsin people serving in Hawaii.
Yes, it's a very good idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get this again. It makes it so real to actually hear from someone over there. How horrible. Well, we can hope for the best and know that our servicemen have the best. Hope and pray. John Hansen of Superior is with the Army Air Corps in Molokai, Hawaii. Merwin Helland, whose mother, Marie, lives on Hughes Avenue, is stationed in Honolulu. Johan Johansson is with the U.S. destroyer base, and John Johnson is on board the USS Northampton. Alexander Kalinowski is with the submarine Pacific Fleet, Melvin Lambert with the U.S. Pacific Fleet, and Walter LaJoy is serving on the USS Savannah. John Barter is on the USS Oklahoma. He is the son of Ina Barter of Milwaukee. She used to live here in Superior. Our thoughts and prayers with them and their families. It's hard to think of anything else to say now, Jack and Lou.
Well, you did say it all there, Harriet. Thank you. Our time is up. We'll let the Mutual Broadcasting System take us with information from Hawaii and Washington, and I'm sure some reaction from around the world to today's attack on our Navy in Pearl Harbor. Lou, anything else?
Yes, from United Press Wire Service. In addition to the attack on Pearl Harbor, it appears that Manila is being bombed in the Philippines, Guam in the South Pacific, and now there's word of an air raid on Wake Island. London is reporting that Singapore is also being attacked by the Japanese. The impact of this major offensive will not be known, probably, for a couple of days.
Thank you, Lou. Well, good listeners, we've faced foreign threats before, and we're facing one again. At least one. Together, we will be all right. We have to believe that. Stay tuned for updates here on station KUWS. And we'll be back with the Martin McKenna Show tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. For Lou Martin then, Ray Paulson, and Harriet Farig, this is Jack McKenna speaking. We leave you with this.
Voices of the Cadets.
We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
So will you please say hello to the folks that I know. Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
This is Radio Superior, December 7, 1941. Radio Superior 1941 is a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Police Chief Arthur Buchanan was played by Sheriff Richard Pukima. Post Commanders Clyde Thomas and Wilfred Campbell were performed by Al Katz and Peter Nordgren. John Monsell played Don Hartley, and Kathy Loxo was the telephone operator. The performance of Mr. Higa was done by Michael Ng with the Honolulu Community Theater. Invaluable assistance for this broadcast came from the University of Wisconsin Superior Theater Department. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write us at KUWS Radio. UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for
for more Radio Superior 1941. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.